The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, we want to welcome our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Today, I want to be dealing with post-election, just post-election perplexity. Post-election perplexity. The word perplexity, you can find that word is used in the King James Bible, the King James translation of the Bible. It's also found in the New King James, and it's a word meaning confusion, chaos, disorder, disruption, and that's exactly what we're seeing play out. So while everybody's focused and everybody has been focused on who the next president is going to be, there's been a lot of results that have come in from Tuesday from the election results. So we're going to talk about that today in this broadcast, and I'm going to be talking about what a Jewish rabbi is now warning the United States of America and the world regarding the United States of America. So we've got a jam-packed program today, so I hope you guys will enjoy this. Let's get into this thing. So throughout different states in the United States of America, on Tuesday night, the elections were played out. Many results came in, and it is quite stunning, to say the least, what we're discovering. For example, in Oregon, while everyone is continuing to hold their breath for the presidential election outcome, Oregon has just become the first state to decriminalize hard drugs such as heroin, cocaine, and meth. And a stunning 59-41% vote, the election was made. The reports detailed that the, quote, Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act will transition Oregon's drug policy from a punitive criminal approach to a humane, cost-effective health approach. According to the report from Fox News, quote, people suffering from addiction are more effectively treated with health care services than with criminal punishments, according to the bill. A health care approach includes a health assessment to figure out the needs of people who are suffering from addiction and includes connecting them to the services they need. Drug users in the state of Oregon will no longer be considered criminals, but instead Oregon will now offer them addiction services funded by marijuana tax revenue, which is more than $100 million a year in the state. The report went on to state that only small amounts of drugs are decriminalized, such as less than 1 gram of heroin, 2 grams of cocaine, 12 grams of mushrooms, or we know as shrooms, and 40 doses of LSD, oxycodone, or methadone. Criminal penalties for possessions of these amount will now will be replaced with a fine of up to $100, which can be waived if the user is evaluated at addiction recovery centers. So that's, you guys in Oregon, that's what came of this election so far. Let's talk about Colorado, where a new report from CBN News is indicating that voters in Colorado has just struck down a ban on late-term abortions. Unbelievable. Let me say that again. A new report is revealing that voters in Colorado have just struck down a ban on late-term abortions. The report stems from the Denver Post, which is a local affiliate there, which revealed that about 59.2% rejected Proposition 115, with 83% of the vote counted, while 40.8% supported it. This measure, which is Proposition 115, would have banned most abortions in the state of Colorado after 22 weeks, with the only exception being to protect the life of the mother in emergency situations. Under this ban, physicians who perform such abortions would have been penalized. This was a stunning result. Pro-lifers in Colorado had hoped that voters would change the narrative by voting in favor of Proposition 115. However, that is not the case. Quote, most states, the vast majority of states, have some type of restriction on abortion after viability, according to a a representative from Focus on the Family, who told CBN News ahead of the measure's defeat. He went on to say that, quote, Colorado needs to join the majority of states who recognize that a baby's life at 22 weeks is capable of experiencing pain, will stick its tongue out, suck its thumb, and can recognize its own mother's voice. He goes on to say this is not the kind of stage where we should be considering abortion, except where the life of the mother is threatened. According to CBN News, this makes the fourth time now since 2008 that Colorado voters have rejected measures to restrict abortion in the state. Unbelievable. Let's move on to Oklahoma, where reports are indicating that voters have just elected their first Muslim non-binary Democrat to serve in the Oklahoma legislature in the United States, meaning their gender identity is neither exclusively male or female. Non-binary individuals may use gender-neutral pronouns to identify themselves, such as the singular they. According to this report from a local affiliate out of Oklahoma, criminal justice reform activist and community organizer Marie Turner has taken the House District 88 in the election. House District 88 is known for being the most progressive voting block in the Oklahoma City metropolitan area. The report went on to state that Turner was the Democratic Party back in June, beating three-term competitor Jason Dunnington, who has held the House District since 2014. Turner was elected into office after defeating Republican nominee Kelly Barlene, I don't know how you pronounce that there, on Tuesday night's election from a total of 13,453 votes. Turner claimed over 70% of the votes. She went on to make, or she, he, whatever you want to say here, went on to make a statement, quote, as a child, I honestly remember having conversations with my mother where I thought that things would just be better if I was white, or if I was just different in some way or some shape or some form. She stated that in an interview with the Oklahoman, quote, so it means a lot. It means a lot to be able to provide that visibility for other folks. Wow. Now, Bible Belt states of Georgia and Tennessee just elected their first homosexual state legislators, including one who claims to be a lesbian priest. Two states that have traditionally been rooted in what we call the Bible Belt of America have just elected the first openly homosexual members of the state legislature on Tuesday, including a lesbian priest. Let me say that again. Including a lesbian Episcopal priest. In the state of Georgia, Democratic candidate Kim Jackson won heavily Democratic District 41 by landslide, defeating Republican challenger William Park Freeman. Jackson is also an ordained Episcopal priest and the interim vicar at the Church of the Common Ground in Atlanta, Georgia, as well as a graduate of Candler School of Theology. Quote, Jackson, the first black LGBTQ individual ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, previously served as a chaplain at the Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing in the Atlanta University Center, and as Associate Rector of All Saints Episcopal Church, the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta states. Meanwhile, in the state of Tennessee, two openly homosexual candidates were also chosen by voters to serve in public office. The report states that Democratic Tory Harris and Republican Eddie Manus were voted in, and they stated, quote, I believe women and their doctors are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them and no one else, according to Harris in a campaign video posted online. The Christian Post reported that both Tory and Eddie sent a clear message that LGBTQ candidates can win in a deep red state, or known as Bible Belt locations, while being their authentic selves, according to Houston. Texas Mayor Parker, who now leads the LGBTQ Victory Fund, quoted and went on to say that, quote, their presence in the state legislature can dilute the most toxic anti-LGBTQ voices and lead to more inclusive legislation. Whew, let's move on. Washington, D.C. voters just recently approved decriminalization following the suit of Oregon. The decriminalization of magic mushrooms and other psychedelics. In a 59-41 vote, I'm sorry, that was Oregon. Let me move over here to residents in D.C. reportedly approved a measure that will effectively decriminalize magic mushrooms and other organic psychedelic drugs in their state as well. The measure Initiative 81 does not legalize psychedelic plants and fungi. It simply recategorizes them as the, quote, lowest level police enforcement priority. This was according to a report from an affiliate, Fox 5, out of D.C. Apparently, psychedelics can be deployed to treat depression, trauma, and addiction, according to activists. Guys, I mean, again, I'm 43 years of age, and this would be unheard of. Now we have the legalization of marijuana in states. We've got the legalization of magic mushrooms, psychedelics. We've got, again, we've got the decriminalization of hard drugs such as cocaine and heroin and meth. I mean, what could possibly go wrong here, right? But let's just move on. Delaware. Delaware has just elected its first openly transgender official. Oh boy, Sarah McBride has reportedly won her state Senate race in the state of Delaware, making her the, quote, first openly transgender person to be elected to that position in the nation. According to the New York Times, McBride will be sworn in and will be the nation's highest ranking transgender elected official. Let that soak in for a minute. McBride, who's 30 years of age, is a Democrat and an activist, easily defeated Steve Washington, a Republican in the first state Senate district, including Wilmington, and leans heavily left. In a brief interview, McBride stated on Tuesday night that she was incredibly grateful to the residents of her district and would keep her focus on serving them. McBride also said she hoped that the results of the election would send a, quote, message to any young person out there struggling with where they fit in and know they fit into this world, that our democracy is big enough for them as well, and their voices matter. She went on to say, quote, I'm hopeful that there's a young person desperately in need of that message who just before going to bed looked online and saw the results of this. Quote, for that person, they know that that change is possible and things can get better. In a statement, Anise Parker, president of the LGBTQ Victory Fund, called McBride's win a, quote, powerful testament to the growing influence of transgender leaders in U.S. politics. Whatever message is sent tonight to LGBTQ people, that message isn't sent by me, it's sent by the voters. McBride said, quote, I think this is the most important thing for me and all of us to remember. All right, so since we're on that thread, let me just remind you, I want to remind our viewers today that Democratic presidential nominee and could very well be the next president of the United States of America, Joe Biden, has vowed recently when he is elected, when and if he's elected as president, that he would immediately sign into law what is called the Equality Act. He made this statement during a recent interview where Biden stated he would sign the Equality Act into a law in his first 100 days in office, should he indeed win the presidency and the Democrats take control of both houses of Congress. Well, I got bad news for Biden. The latter part of that is not going to happen. It looks like the Republicans have, or conservatives have, held both House and Congress. However, this Equality Act law that many have described as a, quote, serious threat to religious liberty would essentially add sexual orientation and gender identity to federal civil rights laws, granting no legal cover for people of faith. This is according to many pundits of this. CBN News talked about this. FaithWire talked about this. According to FaithWire, Dr. Russell Moore, the president of Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, has stated that while the bill protects the LGBT community, it would also steamroll the conscience of millions of people, referring to those of faith that believes the Bible. I want to read that one more time. According to Dr. Russell Moore, he said that, quote, while the bill will protect the LGBT community, Mr. Moore said that it will, quote, steamroll the consciences of millions of people, referring to those of faith that believe in the Bible. Moore went on further to warn that if this becomes law, the Equality Act would essentially strip Christians who view marriage as a holy union between one man and one woman of any sort of legal exceptions. In fact, according to the text of the bill, he says the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under a covered title, or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a covered title. Essentially, what this means is, according to Moore, that religious people would not be permitted to cite the 1993 law in an effort to exempt themselves from being held to measures in the Equality Act that violate their convictions. Wow. Wow. That's, I mean, just meditate on that for a second. This legislation originally passed the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives last year in 2019, but failed in the Republican-led Senate, and would allow people to choose restrooms based on their own chosen sexual identities, would force female athletes to compete with biological males. By the way, we're seeing lawsuits going everywhere about that right there. Again, female athletes to compete with biological males who identify themselves as females, and would require faith-based adoption agencies to place children with same-sex couples regardless of what their faith is and what they believe, or they will be shut down. So again, this is what has already A, happened, and B, what's in the making. If things go in a certain direction, this is what we're going to be looking forward to. So buckle up, brace yourselves, get ready, because things are moving and steamrolling ahead. Now I want to get to another segment. This is where I want to close here on this segment today. This was very interesting. Formerly Breaking Israel News, they call themselves now, they rebranded their site to Israel 365 News. But they did a report, according to this source, a Jewish rabbi. Here we go with this again. A Jewish rabbi, and he also claims to be a mystic. I just want to throw that out there. That's all important when we get to here in just a second, has made a stunning warning in regards to the U.S. election. In a recent 88-minute message, or what he calls a teaching, in the last 20 minutes of a 88 message, the rabbi stated that, quote, this election is going to change the entire face of the planet. Let me say that again. According to this rabbi who identifies himself as a mystic, and an 88-minute message. In the final 20 minutes of it, he went on a full 20-minute discourse of how he claims that, quote, this election is going to change the entire face of the planet. This rabbi teaches the Torah to both Jews and Gentiles in a city in Israel's Galilee region. And he recently announced a claim in a class entitled, quote, will Trump win the elections and what do the Torah codes reveal? He stated here that the whole Torah code, let me just explain this. This is a lot of these rabbis and these mystics will take the Torah. The Torah, if you don't know what the Torah is simply, to make this real simple, the Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's your Torah. They will take those five books and they will use a system called gematria, where you take numbers and letters in the Hebrew and you begin to decode it. These rabbis claim to have a level of interpretation, understanding that enables them to pull out hidden messages from the Torah, in which they will tell you've heard of these Bible codes and all, this is what they're doing. And they will come up and they will deliver either Bible, they will show Bible codes that could give reference to certain events and certain things that could take place or has happened in times past that points, and they will reference this and say, this was hidden in the Torah, this was hidden in the codes. Now, and many of them will take messages from the Torah and they will give these warnings about things to come. So this is basically in a nutshell here what this rabbi is doing here. And he says, according to this rabbi, there was multiple verses in Exodus chapter 23 that reference to what he is saying what he is saying is the end of the American empire. He went on to say, this is significant that being a President Trump originally took office back in 2016, the week that Jewish communities worldwide were reading the Torah portion of, again, Exodus 23. He went on to say, the rabbi went on to point out that he says, with skips of 73 letters, and again, he's referencing what I just explained to you about how they get this information. The Hebrew spelling of Trump is encoded in the Torah beginning in Exodus 23, which was read the very week that Trump took office. He put 2017, and that's technical. That's absolutely correct, because in January he took office 2017. We say 2016, but it was technically 2017. The rabbi offered a few explanations for why the skips of 73 letters are significant. According to him, the numerical value of the Hebrew word chokmah, which means wisdom. So we're going to stick with wisdom here, okay? He goes on to say that Hashem, or God, runs the world with wisdom. This is how he controls governments and presidents. He goes on to state that it is almost irrelevant who is going to be the next president, according to this rabbi. But listen to this. Here's where we get to the meat of what I want to tell you today. He declared that, quote, either way we look at it, the redemption is going to come. Now, what does he mean by this? The rabbi referred to both President Trump and contender Joe Biden as puppets. And he claims that both will be fulfilling the will of God, whatever happens at the polls, quote, regardless of who wins, the outcome will be the same, because the Holy One, blessed is He, is driving the train. He went on to say that, quote, the whole system is set up to bring the country to civil war, martial law, and the end of the U.S. Now, guys, this is not Alex Jones of InfoWars, or this is not a conspiracy from Q, or this is not some conspiracy theory being originated or birthed from the United States somewhere in a blog or a YouTube channel or somebody's basement. This is coming from a rabbi out of Israel. again, who's saying the whole system is set up to bring the country to civil war, martial law, and the end of the U.S. He goes on to say that, quote, either way you look at it, it's going to bring America down. America is, quote, done. America is going to go down, and with it, the entire world. Now he gives an explanation of why. He says, because God is preparing the entire world to bring about the Messiah. And he calls this his Messiah. Interesting. And I put quotation marks here. The world is going, he is preparing the entire world to bring about the Messiah. And he calls him the Mashiach ben David, or the Mashiach son of David, to come and redeem the entire world and not only the Jews. Quote, there cannot be a redemption if there are governments in place. There cannot be a redemption if there are world leaders. The Messiah is going to come and remove the world leaders, so it's really irrelevant who is going to win. You can kiss the great United States of America goodbye. This is from a rabbi in Israel. He goes on. He says, within a few months, you will see this entire great country going down with its economy, with its power, and all the countries of the world are going to follow suit. Anyone who is with the program is going to be a part of it, and anyone who is against the program will not be a part of it. And the redemption is not only for the Jews, the redemption is for the entire world. All the nations of the world will be a part of it. Now, this is very interesting, to say the least, from this rabbi. So let's talk about this for a second. Number one, the question arises, who is this Mashiach or this rabbi that this Jewish mystic is talking about? Again, there's going to be two camps in this. There's going to be two differences of opinions. There's going to be one camp that says, well, the rabbi's talking about the Mashiach, the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one, the son of David, the son of man, the one whom the prophets foretold, the one who said that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that he which was, which is, and which is to come, at the beginning, the end, the first, and the last, whose coming is foretold by John the Revelator and by the prophets of old. You've got that camp. Then you got another camp that say, no, this is not the Messiah of the Bible. This is not the Son of Man, the Son of David, and the one who's been foretold of the Bible. And their argument will be because of the source in which it's coming and in which they're receiving, or they're getting their, quote, wisdom and their information from. Now, having said that, remember, this is not a rabbi who's claiming to be messianic. He never said that he was born again. He never stated that that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and Messiah. Not once. In fact, again, I want to reiterate this. He says that he is a mystic. So there's a big problem right here. So again, there's only two points of thought process here. Either this man is talking about the Messiah, son of David, that most Christians believe is coming, or he is referring to another Jesus that Paul talked about. Another Jesus, another spirit, another doctrine, and what the Bible deems as the Antichrist, or one who comes and opposes Christ. Antichrist, anti-Christian, anti-Jesus. One who comes and poses as Christ. One who comes and declares himself as Christ. Paul said in we talked about this in other segments. I don't want to beat a dead horse again, but to the church of Thessalonica, Paul warned that this man of sin, this son of perdition, will come and he will declare himself as God and set himself up as God and declare to the world that he is God. And where will he do this? He will do it in Israel. He will do it in the temple in Jerusalem. And the Bible talks about that in 2 Thessalonians. And the whole world will be deceived, and even, if possible, the very elect. So I want you, Guys, it's time. We got to get in the Word. We got to do our homework, and we got to be ready because the days ahead are, steamrolling, freight training ahead, and we're going headlong into what the Bible talks about as perilous times. Now, I want to remind you, here's something that I do want to point out that goes right in reference with this. Number one, two things. Number one, Paul said in Romans chapter 11, he wrote, I do not, and he's talking to Jews here, not Gentiles, Jews. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own opinion. This is Romans 11, 25. Blindness has happened in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I want everybody to stop right there. If you have your Bible, underline that, highlight that. I want you to even say that with me. Say, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, what does that mean? That, again, there is when the Messiah came the first time, he revealed himself to his own people, to Israel, to the Jews, and they rejected him. They did not believe he was the Son of Man. They did not believe he was the Son of God. And we know we know how the story goes. He was crucified. He was bitten. He was smitten. He was put on trial, and his own people rejected him. Thus, the Bible tells us that God shifted from the Jews to the Gentiles. That's everybody that's listening to this podcast, broadcast, YouTube, Facebook. If you're not a Jew by blood, you are a Gentile. That includes me. God shifted because the Jews went blind, it opened up the opportunity for the Gentiles to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, that's why we are currently, present tense, 2020, in the dispensation of grace. Right now, we're under the dispensation of grace. What does that mean? It means God is giving a sovereign amount of time for predominantly Gentiles to accept him as Lord and Savior. Now, that doesn't mean Jews can't be saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means either Jew, Gentile, black, white, Hispanic, don't matter your ethnicity, don't matter your gender. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want you to get this here for a second. There is a sovereign time frame in which God is giving the Gentile nations of the world an opportunity to receive him as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that that time frame has been going on for a long time now, over 2,000 years. But we are closing in on what is called the fullness of the Gentiles, or we're coming to the end of the age, or the dispensation of the age of grace. Now, what does that mean? When this thing climaxes, when it comes to an end, God then shifts back to the Jews. You can go to the book of Revelation. There is two witnesses that raise up. They're preaching in the streets. There's 144,000 Jews that will be raised up with the mark of God on their foreheads. And they're preaching to who? Israel, to the Jews. Why? So it will bring about what Paul said in Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, quote, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is we got two things that are happening right now. The Jews are blinded, but the Gentiles' eyes are opening. But can I pull something from what this rabbi is saying? If he is correct on America as an empire, and that's what we are, America, if you're listening to this, you live in the United States of America, we are just another empire. If we're another empire, and by the way, there's I can't remember who, there's a book out there, and it talks about the average time frame of empires is somewhere between right around 400 to 600 years. So America has gone well past that. When you look at empires in history, they lasted somewhere between 400 to 600 years, and then they ceased to be an empire. In fact, you go to the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in which he saw a statue, and it had the head of gold and the arms of silver and the waistband of brass, and then the legs of iron, then it had the 10 feet. Prophetically speaking, from the head all the way down to the two legs and the feet and 10 toes, those nations have come and gone, all of them. Bam, 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 bam. Now we're down, you've got the two legs of iron, which I believe prophetically, and you don't have to agree with this because there's so many different theologians and prophecy teachers that go in different directions. So again, this is just my opinion. Don't get mad at me. You can believe what you want here, whatever. But two legs could, what I believe is the East and West Rome. The two legs are iron. They represent Rome. Okay, then you go down and you got your 2 feet and your 10 toes. What is that? Those 2 feet and 10 toes are going to be 10 kingdoms that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. They're mentioned in the book of Daniel. These 10 toes are 10 nations that will give their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. So, but when you, I want to encourage you to go back to the book of Daniel. And you'll discover that in the days of those kings, the days of those 10 kings, the 10 toes of prophecy, the Bible says, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of those 10 kings, there will come a great stone that will come from out, it will come out of heaven, and it will crush those 10 kings, and it will set up its kingdom. Friends, listen to me. You know who that great stone is that's coming out of heaven that will come in the days of those 10 kings and will crush those 10 kings? It is the stone. Come on, somebody. That stone coming out of from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. So let's take away from this real quick. Let's close with this. There is some parts of what this rabbi said that I agree with. As far as where we're heading, a new world order, a one world government, a governized system, it has to happen. Absolutely, it has to happen. Read Revelation 13, folks. There's coming a system that will be put in place. It's not here now. It's coming, in which you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without having swore an allegiance to both the Antichrist and the false prophet, who will be issuing this system in which you will have to put in your forehead and in your right hand a system of buying, selling, and trading. And without it, you will not be able to function in society. And you will be identified as swearing allegiance to the governing power of the Antichrist and his system. That has not yet happened in our lifetime. I know there's preterists out there that teach that that's all been fulfilled in 70 AD. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't have time to get into that, and I'm not even going to entertain that. But all that's coming to a head. That's where we're headed. But here's what I want to tell you. Also in the book of Revelation, it says there's going to be an Antichrist in power, and there's going to be 10 kings that will already, by the way, the 10 kings will already be established. And then the Antichrist comes among them. He's called the little horn in Bible prophecy in Daniel. The 10 kings will already be established. And then the Antichrist rises to power, and those 10 kingdoms give their power over to the Antichrist. and then he will lead them. He will control them. But watch this. Oh, come on, somebody. But then it says, come on, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming down out of heaven. The Bible says in the book of Jude, it says, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica that the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and destroy the Antichrist and his kingdoms with the brightness of his coming. So don't miss it. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is why it's significant that under the presidency of Donald J. Trump, that these nations are beginning to sign these peace covenants with the nation of Israel. UAE, Bahrain, Sudan. I don't know. I wish I could tell you with confidence that that Trump is going to win the re-election or Biden's going to win the election. I don't have a word from God, so I'm not going to tell you that I do have a word from God. In fact, listen, there is a lot of so-called prophets that have gone forward and they're on record saying that Trump is going to, they were saying that Trump was going to win by a landslide. Well, that didn't happen. So they've already missed that. And there's a lot of them sitting in a back room somewhere and they're sweating bullets right now and they're praying and they're hoping that Trump wins. And it may not even be for the sake of him winning the re-election. It's for them saving face because they're all over the internet, all over Facebook, all over everywhere. TBN, the 700 Club, Sid Roth, all of them. They're all over the place. Saying that they either had a dream, a vision, a word from God, whatever, a visitation, that Trump was going to win. He was going to win by a landslide. So listen, I'm not saying that Trump ain't going to win. I'm still hoping. I'm still praying. We're hanging in there. I'm just saying some crazy stuff's happening. Post-election perplexity, chaos, disorder, disruption, confusion. That's where we're at right now of the on this Thursday, November 5th. So I want to leave you. I know this was a lot to consume and digest. Please, again, share this with as many. If you know folks that like prophecy, they like eschatology, they like to keep up with what's going on, please share them, tag them. If you're listening to this by podcast, invite them. Say, ETH has got a podcast on Apple. They've got one on Android. Get them in there. Let them hear it. I believe they'll be blessed by these kind of messages. Again, if you want to keep and continue to keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys watching by Facebook Live, there's a link to our subscription to our daily digest. It's right where it says subscribe to ETH. If you'll just click on that link, follow that link, you can subscribe to our digest. If you're listening by podcast, again, go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And all that information is going to be there where you can subscribe to our digest. If you don't have our app, again, go to the App Store, ETH. The ETH app, you can get it on Apple, you can get it on Android. Just type in End Time Headlines, you're going to see our official trademark logo. Download that app, it's absolutely free to keep up with us. You'll get notifications, breaking news alerts, podcasts, YouTube, all that's going to be right there at your fingertips on our app. And again, as always, guys, we want to close with the opportunity for you guys to, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, if this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, encouragement, it blesses you, whatever the case may be, all the above, we want to give you that opportunity. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can go there. You're going to see places to donate, to give, and make that, give that opportunity to do that electronically. Or if you wish to give by check, you're going to see that opportunity as well. When you click on the link, it's going to give you our mailing address as well. All you guys watching by YouTube, you got all the visual on this. On Facebook, you don't have that. We were doing this Zoom thing, but I quit doing that because, number one, we have a large podcast audience that just listen to it, and we have YouTube as well. So if you like the visual and the pictures and the illustrations and the PowerPoints and all that, you can go there and watch this. When we upload that, we have a YouTube channel, End Time Headlines. Just click that in there. You're going to see our YouTube channel, so you can do that as well. So we try to reach out to every stream, whether you be listening or watching, and we try to be respectful of that. But we want to make this as simple as we can, and this just makes it more simple. So until we get, again, as you guys know, I'm in a transition period right now, moving from one location to another. When we eventually move to our permanent place here in Georgia, we're going to have a designated office. I'm going to have a place for our podcast. We're going to have a background, a backdrop. It's going to be I'm excited about it. We're going to have more, better equipment, better microphones, video equipment, the whole nine yards. So that is all coming, okay? Probably in early spring. So we'll keep you updated as we get that going. So let's pray real quick, guys, before we end this podcast. Let's pray about the elections. Let's give it to God and see what happens here. Father, we continue to pray and we continue to stand in the gap. We continue to make up the hedge today and pray, continue to intercede for this election outcome. Lord, we take this moment, Lord, to not focus on Fox News or CNN or all these other news outlets, but we focus on your word. We focus on your sovereignty, and we focus on the fact that regardless of what happens this week, we know that you're still on the throne, you're still in command, you're still in control, and you have a plan. And Lord, it may be a plan to give us a reprieve for another 4 years, or your plan may be, Lord, we could very well as a nation be entering into the time of judgment, just like this rabbi said. We could be heading into a time of judgment. We could be headed into a time when America is beginning its downfall. But Lord, we choose not to panic. We choose not to be anxious for nothing. But we choose to be hopeful and know that, God, you are in control. And that if one kingdom is going down, another kingdom is about to rise up. And we thank you that our citizenship is only temporal here, but our heavenly citizenship is awaiting us on the other side. And we know eventually, Lord, that trumpet is going to sound. And we know that you're coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're coming to set up your kingdom to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You won't be voted in. You know, you won't be selected in by a group or a party. But God, you are coming whether they like it or not. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friend, I know we do this occasionally, but if you're watching this or listening to this today, and maybe you're not right with God, you're away from God, I want to give you the opportunity today to make things right with Him. Right where you're at, right where you're watching, right where you're listening, I want you to take a moment, and if you're not right with God, repent of your sins. What does that mean? It simply means you become real and you become raw with God. And you say, Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, I know that I've fallen short and I've tried to do things my own way. But today I choose to repent of my sins. I choose to turn from my own ways and I choose to put my faith, my hope, and my trust in you and in your word. And from this day forward, I want to walk with you. I believe that you died and rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you hear my prayers today, and you are putting my name in your book in heaven, and that my salvation is now in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, listen, if you simply prayed that prayer and somehow in your own words, the Bible says in the book of Romans, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. So we hope you made that decision. That's more important than anything that you could do, is make that decision. So we love you guys. Again, God bless you. Thank you for coming on here today. We may be back on here tomorrow, depending on what goes on. We'll just keep an eye on this, see what happens. We may be back on here tomorrow, and we may do a special broadcast. If not, then we will be back on here either Monday or Tuesday of next week, and we will do another broadcast. Until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you, and His favor be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.